From meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
And what a perfect time to do a year-in-review show. Well, it's almost the end of the year. My name is Dana Pretzer. You know this show is the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. What do we talk about here? We talk about crime cases. We talk about missing persons. We talk about victims. We talk about politics, entertainment. You name it, we do it here. Something that I've nicknamed Main Street Radio rather than Mainstream Radio, where we actually give the guests a chance to talk. I wouldn't be able to do this program without you, of course, the guests, and my next two guests, who we'll spend the next 45 minutes with, the man behind Scared Monkeys Red and a regular feature on the program. You know her as a former L.A. County prosecutor and author, television analyst, you name it, she does it. Red and Robin Sachs are here to talk about our top stories of 2009. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Hey, Dana, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I think the best way, I want to start with you, Red, just briefly, because we get new listeners all the time. And people come on and they say, what is this? What is Scared Monkeys all about?
Well, to be honest with you, Dana, I mean, it is exactly what you refer to when you talk about Main Street media. I mean, we've been blogging now since 2005, trying to cover the stories that either the media doesn't want to cover or that they don't want to give enough attention to, or the stories that really the people want to get more information about and want to participate in. And what we try to tell people, I mean, Scared Monkeys is it basically means to never put your head in the sand.
Right.
To always question. And that means whether it's crime, whether it's current events, or whether it's politics. And we try to maintain that motto throughout.
And we're going to talk a little bit about all of those tonight. Robin, one of the best things about this program is when I met up with you, because you and I have done some, excuse the term, kick-ass radio here the last little while. Last couple of years, we've talked about everything from soup to nuts. And one of the stories that we covered a lot, you and I, and you've done it on your other program and on other shows that you've been on television, etc., is the Anthony case. I've said it many times, Robin Sachs, that there's only one real victim in this case, and that's little Kaylee Anthony. It's not Casey Anthony. It's not whoever. The courts will deal with Casey Anthony, and there's an ultimate power that will deal with who's ever responsible for this little girl's death. Your thoughts on Kaylee Anthony?
Well, again, this is, you know, one of the most tragic cases that we've seen in our time, not just because of the fact that an innocent child was murdered, but it was a murder at the hands, or at least allegedly at the hands of her mother.
Yep.
And then you have not only the mother, denying and, you know, making a mockery of the system, frankly, and just how some of the aspects of the case have unfolded, but then you also have this other element of the grandparents that we're seeing. And I think it's just a case that, even though, you know, we're now kind of, going on 2 years of examining this case, I think this case will make our top 10 list and top 12 list and top whatever list for some years to come, because I think that someone who was so systematically atrocious and narcissistic at the same time it can't help but to capture our attention, because it's something that so many of us have the ability to wrap our minds around. No matter how sick people are out there, you can kind of understand, you know, some of the stuff people do. I mean, if we look at even the, you know, awful Nigerian bomber guy or would-be bomber guy yesterday, it's like, yeah, at least there was like a religious reason, or a, mm-hmm, you know, not a, you know, a radical religious reason, but a reason nonetheless. This is just senseless and sick.
Red, You cover all sorts of stories of scared monkeys. You name it, you cover it. But I see one parallel, and you might laugh at me a little bit about this, between Natalie Holloway and Kaylee Anthony. And the only parallel that I see between the two of them is the cable news coverage, the nonstop cable news coverage for quite some time. Obviously different cases, but I want to get your take on Kaylee Anthony, the difference between how you covered it on Scared Monkeys and how the cable news outlets covered it. And let's talk a little bit about Natalie, too, because we'd be remiss without doing that.
Well, to be honest with you, Dana, so many people do compare the two stories. However, one had international ramifications,
right.
The other really more domestic, both tragic in their own right. Where we have a situation with Casey's case is that you have a family that basically is obstructing the investigation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tragic situation where when you hear the words of Cindy initially, when she makes the 911 call, when she does some of this other stuff, you get a better understanding of exactly what you know, why utterances are admissible in a court of law. How we're covering the case, I mean, we actually basically participated in both searches
mm-hmm.
for Natalie Holloway and Casey. I was down there for one of the searches with Texas EquiSearch during the much ballyhooed, all the water was everywhere. We were down there for that. We don't look at this like it's a three-ring circus, which sadly I think the mainstream media wants.
Yeah.
That's what they're after. That's how they get ratings. They create they take a tragic situation and create a media circus around it and create viewership in a way. And we're basically trying to cover the story behind the scenes with some of the stuff. I mean, you'll talk with Blink later on. I mean, she does a tremendous amount of work behind the scenes with that case. We may hear about it someday. We won't hear about it now, but we'll hear about it someday, what she's done for this case. And we try to put the case to an end.
Yeah.
We don't want to further the case.
Yeah.
We actually want it to come to a conclusion. I think that's probably the biggest difference between what the media does and what we do online. With the many people who are reading, whether it be on the forum or the front pages or over at Blink on Crime, I mean, people want answers. And they're disgusted with the fact that a little girl dies at the hands of allegedly the mom.
Yep.
And it's so outrageous and unconscionable that people just, they can't grasp the reality that someone would kill their child. And I think Robin kind of touched on that. I mean, with regards to Natalie, I mean, I talk to Beth from time to time. There are still some things going on behind the scenes. It's certainly not over yet. This past year, I mean, obviously the Lifetime movie came out. Our friend, the late Jamie Skeeters,
yep.
Had the lawsuit against him dismissed that the CalPOs were doing. And in that, the CalPO lawsuit still goes on against Dr. Phil. But make no mistake about it, Aruba's permanently tarnished.
Mm-hmm.
Beth will always be talking. Beth will always be looking for answers, and so will we. And the movie, when it comes on a weekend, on a rainy or snowy night, snowy day, people will watch it, and they'll remember Natalie Holloway all over again, and they'll get disgusted at Aruba all over again.
Yeah, you bet, and that's a case that none of us will forget for sure. That term closure that I don't like to use, Robin, is one that comes up. And the next case, as far as our year in review, has to do with an individual and his lawyer who I had on my show many times, probably the most controversial guest I've had on my program in the last almost 12 years that I've been doing a show or a version of a show. Lots of people hated him, but lots of people listened to him. There's no closure in the Drew Peterson case. Robin, your thoughts on the disgraced Bolingbrook police sergeant?
Well, you know, it's funny because I think of Drew Peterson a little bit like I think about the Casey Anthony case, in that, you know, here we go. You know, it's another case that goes on for a long period of time, which unfortunately is really not so unheard of in the criminal justice system. One of the biggest complaints you hear is that the wheels of justice move, you know, at molasses speed here, you know, frozen molasses, that is. And, you know, and I'm thinking, huh, what are the last things to happen? And in the last few months, and some of the news that we've seen in the last few months has been very peripheral news. It's almost a joke, this case, which is what is so sad, is that a case that can sit here as long as it has been and it will continue to go on, and yet we don't have any, I don't think any of us in society feel any sense of closure. We may feel a sense of, you know, pleasant, you know, contentment that he's in custody, but, I mean, you know, we laugh. We hear his, you know, stepdaughter calls him a jerk. We laugh. He makes a radio appearance. We laugh. His lawyer's on your show. We laugh. And this is not a laughing matter. This is a real serious case of law enforcement gone bad, and we're laughing, and I think that's a smile I'd like to see off all of our faces.
No, you're right, and I'm sorry for laughing just the way you said it, but Drew, there, it's in my mind now. Red, you know, for the time that I've been with...
I won't hold that again.
the time that I've been with you with Scared Monkeys and all the hundreds of guests that I've had on this show, I can only think of twice, and you've never said, what are you nuts bringing this person on, but you would send me a note saying, you're bringing on Joe Tacopina, you're bringing on Drew Peterson, and you'd leave it at that. Your thoughts on, I guess, me and some of the controversial guests I've had on?
Oh, dear.
Well, you just didn't see what I really wrote. No. I self-edited myself.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it's necessary, Dana. I mean, as I was more stunned that they actually were going to do it. I mean, I'm thinking more along the lines that Joe Tacopina said, yes, as long as Red is not a part of the show, I will certainly come on it, because the man has ducked me ever since I got him on TV and kind of chewed him up and spit him out a little. But I think it's necessary, Dana.
Yeah.
You need the other side. You need... I'm a firm believer in you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You need to know what these people are thinking, what their mindset is, and that's how you generally try to defeat them. Freedom of speech is a good thing.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech allows, and that's, unfortunately, there sometimes isn't enough of it, even on the Internet, because people will either shout you down, or they won't like your opinion. You usually get sites that will delete your comments, anything that's critical, because God forbid you're critical of an attorney who has a big mouth, and I think we all know who I'm talking about.
Not me.
You shouldn't talk about Robin like that.
You're on the good side. Defense attorneys don't have to defend themselves. They don't have to defend their words. They're accusatory. And I think it was an interesting thing what you did that time, although I'm sure you probably got more emails than you've ever gotten in your life. But like I said, I mean, I think it's necessary to get all sides as long as they're not spinning.
Yep.
And I think that's the key, that you can sit down and talk to these people. You don't have to agree with what they do, and I certainly don't. I would find it very difficult. That's why I like being the interviewee, not the or, because I would have a tough time trying to discuss with a defense attorney who would actually defend a sexual predator.
Yeah.
But you know, it's necessary, it's needed, and it's a good thing.
You know, Robin, with the coverage that we're seeing now with the celebrities dying of you know, prescription drug usage, most recently, and they haven't come out with the answers yet, but Brittany Murphy looks like it may be a prescription drug accidental overdose. We look at two cases. I'm going to combine them to the two of them and get you to comment, Robin, first, and then Red, Michael Jackson and Anna Nicole Smith. Obviously, two different types of celebrities, but two cases where the prescription drug usage got in the way of their lives, I guess. And in fact, with Anna Nicole Smith, one of the only times in my time on this radio program that an attorney actually threatened to sue me over having a guest on talking about Anna Nicole Smith and Howard K. Stern. Your thoughts on those two cases, Robin?
Well, it's interesting. This is a case that actually is kind of reminds me a bit of the domestic violence laws.
Yeah.
And that is that there are laws and crimes that are occurring in our country that are killing our young people that are completely preventable. And I think that it's an interesting area to be in because we're starting to really dabble in treatment and addiction and kind of getting outside and getting current under the using the penal code and using the criminal justice system in order to effectuate change in people's behavior. And, in domestic violence, we see, people who just can't help themselves and end up in cycles of violence and getting hurt and abused and beaten and isolated and all the other things. And really, if you look at these prescription drugs, it's the same kind of, cycle of abuse that goes on. It may be self-inflicted, but it's a time that we're coming in and policing what people are doing to themselves and how they not only can hurt themselves but hurt others. And so while I think a lot of people kind of don't necessarily see all the hoopla behind all this and think of this as, oh, this is just, the Hollywood, celebrity drug way to, police Hollywood a bit, I do think that yes, that's where the access is on that level, but if we are going to look at solving the war on drugs, we have to start from the top down and set some examples and be consistent. So kudos to all of the law enforcement agencies and prosecutors and people out there who are putting energy into this extremely difficult type of crime to prosecute, because as you know, we're going to see this in Conrad Murray's case. Was he the one who voluntarily did this administer drugs, or was anybody going to be able to say no to Michael Jackson? And we're seeing that with Anna Nicole Smith. Was she directing Howard K. Stern, or did he act volitionally? And it's tough. It's tough stuff.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Red, I'm sure you'll remember the Rita Cosby interview.
Yeah, that was that was another one that getting letters and emails from attorneys threatening a lawsuit for being the messenger.
Yeah, that's right.
Figure.
Yeah.
But I think we all knew it back then.
Yeah.
That the minute we saw her life just spiral out of control. Everybody knew that there was an issue, and nobody around her did anything. In fact, they enabled it, and they made it worse, and they made excuses. And I mean, the fact that the doctors in the case of Anna Nicole and Howard K. Stern were indicted, and of course they just recently pleaded not guilty. Go figure. What were they gonna do? this is a situation like what Robin just said. It is important to discuss. This is more important than the ridiculous Hollywood stories that we get every single day. This does. Most Hollywood stories do not affect John Q. Public. These drug prescription cases do. They just happen to represent just out of control, the most egregious extreme. When it comes down to our level, it happens every single day. And what Robin just said is very important. Some laws do have to be put in place, and they have to be administered across the board to try to stop this. Illegal drugs are bad enough, but prescription drugs, when people are dying left and right, like were any of us shocked that Michael Jackson died at the age he did?
No.
I mean, when we started to truly hear the stories, we wondered why he didn't die sooner.
Yeah, you're right. If you're just tuning in, Red from Scared Monkeys is here. And, of course, Robin Sachs is here, and we're going over the top stories of 2009. Robin, some of the programming that we did in 2009, you were a big part of many of the interviews, and I'm most proud of are stories on child prostitution, human trafficking. We did a big show on that one night, and some domestic violence cases. We've had many stories about domestic violence with advocates, and I can think of Reagan Martin as one of them, a terrible story. Let's talk about that briefly, and in particular, a little Shania Davis, the little girl sold for sex by her own mother.
Well, that case, you know, well, first of all, human trafficking, and kudos to you, Dana, and to Red and Scared Monkeys for highlighting the issue of human trafficking. I mean, I really do believe that we are going to start seeing some waves change and start seeing human trafficking, which should really be called or known as modern-day slavery or the exploitation of people. It's not just children, and there's a profit element to it. And the fact of the matter is we're going to start hearing more of it, and thank goodness for those North Carolina prosecutors who actually utilize the laws that are there. I mean, one of the things that's so unfortunate is so often we sit here and talk about the laws, and, you know, we've done this over Becca McEvoy with the hearsay laws, and, oh, if we could change this law, and if we were judge, jury, and lawmaker, too, what we would do to do things differently. Well, with human trafficking, under the law, federal laws of 2002, we have some great laws on the book, but no one's using the darn things.
Yeah.
So it's not really good to, you know, have all the toys and not use them when you need them. And the North Carolina prosecutors came out and shocked really me and probably those who pay attention to this kind of stuff in terms of actually charging the mom with human trafficking in that case, because she did sell Shania Davis into prostitution, and that is the classic situation which human trafficking exists, but we would just call it prostitution and never connect the dots and recognize that, in fact, it was human trafficking. So I think we're going to start seeing more of that. I think it's a tragedy, the case that happened to Shania Davis, but I think that there's so many Shania Davises, and maybe Shania Davis's name will live on to be the case that really changed how human trafficking was looked at and prosecuted.
Red, one of the top efforts, I think, that Scared Monkeys and in collaboration with the Gateway Pundit and others have done in 2009 is focus on politics, and particularly the Tea Party movement, ACORN and others. We've had many political guests on the program talking about everything from gun control to border security to, in fact, we've even had a presidential candidate on the program and to talk to them. Your thoughts on Scared Monkeys and politics in those particular stories?
Well, a perfect segue to what Robin just said in how politics and crime go together is there was no bigger story really on the internet this year than what big government and Andrew Breitbart did.
Yep.
With cracking the ACORN scandal with the prostitution pimps and human trafficking. And everyone wanted to look at this like, number one, the media didn't want to cover it. Because, God forbid, ACORN get a liberal nonprofit get nailed like they did and embarrassed like they did. Now, everyone just wanted to look at it on a political thing, saying, oh, it's partisan politics, oh, it's this, and they just wanted to laugh it off. But the fact of the matter is, what I ended up doing was I put the face of Shania on the ACORN story and sent it off to the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you should be ashamed of yourself that you would allow this to happen, that this goes on. And it's one thing for it to be an undercover story. It's another thing that there's a face of a child on this story. And it's just as reprehensible as it gets that you would have people that would be knowingly and willingly looking to thinking it's okay to organize human trafficking as a nonprofit organization giving tax advice.
Yep.
Now, we've since they've done an investigation, obviously a partisan investigation, and they found that ACORN did nothing wrong. Can you imagine? And I mean, this is where within politics, within crime, you name it, this is why the internet does such a better job, because the media doesn't cover these stories anymore. They go along with it or they become propaganda for whatever political party happens to be in and whatever their agenda might be. On the
Actually, I didn't even know whatever happened to the ACORN story. I was just talking about that. Thanks for that update, Red.
I mean, they still have a long ways to go with it, but they got their funding back.
Yeah.
Because a judge said that you couldn't single out this one entity because they supposedly did nothing wrong. Now, basically, criminal charges should be brought against this entity by the attorney general. But do you think Obama's attorney general is going to go after his community organizer it's not happening.
Yeah.
But I mean, as to your other stuff, Dana, there are so many. Politics has obviously been huge in 2009. We have a new president who has gone from hope and change to all we have is change in our pocket.
And duck and cover.
Everyone wanted to talk about how George W. Bush squandered his opportunity after 9/11, which is kind of a sick premise.
Yeah.
But this president has completely squandered his opportunity. He, at one point, was at 75% approval rating.
Yep.
It's hovering in the mid-40s. It will soon go down, probably lower than that, because of Obamacare, because of cap and trade, because of all these other unpopular things with we the people. And what did that create? It created the Tea Party movement, which is a completely non-politically organized group. This is grassroots people that are sick and tired. And according to the recent Rasmussen poll, Tea Party now more popular than the Republican and Democratic Party, which just basically means the people have had enough, they're tired of it, they want their government back, and they want taxation with representation.
Yeah, how important is that? Robin Sachs, speaking of the Attorney General, and the terror suspects being tried in New York City, we've talked about it, did many shows on it. Once we heard that this was going on, we had a recent attempted plane bombing. It's not stopping. It's continuing on. Who knows what's going to happen next? Your thoughts on our coverage on the terror suspects being tried in New York City?
Well, I think it's unbelievable that the only time that terrorism seems to come into the news these days is after there's been an incident. And I look at, and just been looking at the coverage over the last couple of days, and here we go again. And I think that we are radically behind in terms of evaluating the threats of terrorism. I think that when that was the issue for the Bush generation, and that was something that was really something of a priority. And the fact that it doesn't feel like a priority is very evident in the way the rest of the world is the rest of the country is covering it. The fact that you guys on Scared Monkeys covered it was amazing, considering that there hasn't been coverage of the trial. Now, the thing that I do think that was interesting that came about from it and why I love the show so much is that this is the place and the forum to say, listen, I don't necessarily agree, even if there's something that's a criminal justice type of story. Trying the case in New York, I think, was, a ballsy maneuver to do and not one that I necessarily would have done if I was the prosecutor in that case.
Yeah, absolutely. Red, continuing on with our year in review, 2009, Red, a big part of Scared Monkeys, of course, we've talked about Natalie Holloway and others, are the missing persons that you cover, whether it's, you name it. The Dugard case is an interesting one. We'll get into that with Robin in a little bit, and the missing that is found. But, Holloway, Kessie, there isn't a nicer guy on earth than Drew Kessie. You've talked to him, and so have I. And you see the families, the ones that are missing. Haley Cummings, their loved ones is another case. Talk about Scared Monkeys and missing persons in 2009.
I think, Dana, that when we first started covering missing persons, we did it on basically it was like third-party omniscient. You didn't really truly get involved. It was more just almost like a media-type coverage.
Yep.
And then the more and more you got involved, you couldn't help but become emotionally involved and become advocates for families of missing persons. I mean, I make no bones about it. I don't have to be fair. I can be judge, jury, and executioner for the people, for the families we cover. And for the horrible people that commit these crimes, whether they be sexual abuse, whether they be kidnappings, rape. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and it's to the point where it's obviously an epidemic in this country, where we have so many of these cases, and all you have to do is spend 1 minute with one of these families, And you don't ever want to be one of these families, ever. I mean, it is as gut-wrenching a situation as you, as it possibly can be, because you're dealing, trying to do the matter-of-fact of helping, trying to do the matter-of-fact of the behind-the-scenes work that's needed, but then by the same token, trying to provide some compassion to a family. And I always go back to this one story, Dana, and it left a mark on me for the rest of my life. And that was in Aruba, in a landfill, 20 feet down in a methane pit, where it probably took several years off my life doing it, thinking back on it, digging for Natalie Holloway with Dave Holloway 2 feet away from me. And all I could think of was, God, we need to find this girl.
Yeah.
And then I thought, good God, I don't want to find this girl with her dad 2 feet away from me.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff completely changes you. And for all of the, we get so much stuff out there, Dana, where whenever you take on a controversial issue, and who knew that missing persons were controversial issues, but they are, where you get people that are so misguided and so hateful and so, I guess they think the story is about them, that they have no idea what it's like to be 2 feet away from a grieving father or a grieving mother trying to find their child. And like I said, you want it so much, and then God forbid if you do, you don't want to see the reaction of the parent.
Yeah. You know, and it's so true and so well spoken, Red. And Robin, when you and I have covered these stories in your many years as a prosecutor and as a victim's advocate and a consultant and an author and everything that you do, whether it's the Dugard case or Holloway or Kessie or you name it, I can go on with the stories that I've covered here on the show and Red has covered and so have you. It's amazing to see the strength of the families and how they can turn around their tragedy to try and help others. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, God. I mean, you know, Red, you spoke so eloquently, actually bone-chillingly eloquent. I mean, the visual that you gave to all of us in terms of what those moments are like are so true. You find yourself in this type of work, and even if you're not working it in any paid or professional capacity where you're working, when your mind's working in this area, you notice these subtle little tiny things that we who have not lost loved ones or have had our children or our family members or people who are close to us killed, murdered, hurt, or anything like that. You live in a different way, and you see it completely different than people who are in the world of crime. And I spent a lot of time this last year with Mark Klass as an advocate and as the gentleman and tireless advocate who wrote the foreword for my book. And, you know, it's like you feel guilty laughing in front of him or anybody else. But the thing that's so remarkable is that you sit there and you listen to the projects that he's involved in, and not for one moment in the most horrific stories that he can share does he take the experience in vain, and does he not use, you know, Polly's memory to do good and to further his cause, and for all the evil that exists out there, to see a man hug another man who has just lost a child, which I witnessed in front of me, and you literally see that support and strength in numbers. It is an amazing effect in the human condition of being able to see that within people. But the thing that I just have trouble with is really how, for those of us who haven't had those experiences, how we, you know, in some ways I feel like we're frauds in talking about some of the tragedy and loss that there is there, because we'll never be able to comment or note or pundit or theorize or anything else the experiences that other people have. And so I don't think that we could ever do a good enough job in that, because we just, and hopefully we never have to.
Yeah, I know. You're so right. Red is here from Scared Monkeys. Robin Sachs is here. We're going over our top stories of 2009 that we've covered here on the program. Another story, Red, and I want to touch on it just briefly because there is an aspect to it, not only from the media side, with Whoopi Goldberg saying, well, it wasn't really rape, it was the Roman Polanski story.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure what's up with Hollywood with defending child rapists, but it just goes to show the disconnect. Roman Polanski commits the crime, basically admits to the crime, and then bolts the country.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm a little bit torn on this story because, granted, the man should have done the time for his crime, but at this point, if they're not going to do anything to him, what is the point of doing this? Because in the age that we live in now, especially with the economy we live in right now, so many resources are spent trying to go after somebody with name recognition, obviously, like Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
But if they're not going to do anything to him, I'm not quite sure what the point is. But by the same token, once again, it goes back to what Robin, I think, talked about 40 minutes ago, is what are we laughing about? Why are we laughing about crime? Why should rape be funny? What? It's not rape. It's rape. It's like, who would make such an ignorant comment to be made? You think might, if it's going to come out of anybody's mouth, would be a man,
mm-hmm.
not a woman. And it just really goes to show the stupidity of some people in the media that they would actually make mock of such a tragic violation of a human being. And I really don't think they'd be musing about it if it was one of their family.
You know, Robin, and we're starting to run out of time here a little bit. Robin Sachs is here. Check out her webpage at robinsachs.com. Our friend and your radio partner, Stacey Dittrich, wrote a book about bad cops. We hear a lot about bad cops, as we should. Drew Peterson, among others. Bobby Cutts, among others. But what we didn't hear about too much in the media were the cops that lost their lives doing their jobs, most recently in Washington State, the mass shooting there of four police officers. And we can even get into Fort Hood if we want, because we see those stories, but yet they're not touched upon as much as they should be, I believe, in the mainstream. We do it here, you do it, but your thoughts on stories where we've seen men and women in uniform lose their lives unnecessarily.
Well, it's a tragedy, and it's a tragedy to the profession, it's a tragedy to the honor, and it's a tragedy to all of the amazing, wonderful law enforcement people who really put their backs out there for the rest of us to live in safe communities and put away. And really, we don't respect a lot of people, frankly, a lot of the infrastructure that exists within our society, and I think that kind of lack of respect, it's lack of self-respect in terms of the things people do to their body. It's the lack of respect for what other people say in terms of articles that are written. It's lack of respect that, Whoopi Goldberg can make the comment that she made. And really, it's sad, and it's sad testament to what mainstream media does and does focus on, because what they do want to focus on are the complete train wrecks of society. The Tiger Woods, even Michael Jackson to an extent. Yes, there's lessons to be learned, but geez Louise, how many hours of covering Michael Jackson do you need to see to know that, prescription drugs are bad for you and you shouldn't take propofol at home? How much coverage do you need? Do you think you could give a 1-minute shout out to the good work that law enforcement did that day so that we have some vote of confidence in our system and to get people to rally around the people who are making a difference? We sit here and talk and bitch, frankly, about the missed opportunities, but maybe if the people who were doing the job, who got the shout-outs for the good jobs that they were doing, would be reason for the good people to stay. So I think it's unfortunate, and it should be, you know, brought to everybody's attention much more often than it is.
We've got about 4 minutes left here with Robin. We'll bring Red back in the next segment with Blink. But, Red, why haven't we seen many stories on John and Kate Plus 8 on Skater Punkies?
Oh, dear God.
Wasn't she just
robbed?
He was, I think.
He was at him. Yeah, that shows how much I care about that story. And to further Robin's point, it also goes to show you how many hours or days do we need to devote to the fact that if you cheat on your wife with 12 women, that you're going to get a Big Bertha driver upside your head.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we really needed Tiger Woods to figure that little thing out.
No.
But I think it's the reason. I mean, we talk about this all the time, Dana, about why the media has so gone downhill. And it's because they're only after that sensational story. And for the most part, there's so much stuff out there that is real and tangible, but it's not sensational. And those stories are the ones that also need to truly be covered. And the true investigative journalism isn't there anymore, because the sensationalist story is easy. It's simple. I mean, you can't be a producer you shouldn't be, I should say, and just do a program off of search engine material. You've got to do more. And I think that's why we see so many of these great stories being just nailed on the Internet. And there are some great political bloggers. There are great criminal bloggers. You name the foreign bloggers. I mean, these people take their life in their hands when they do this stuff. I mean, you've got riots in Iran. You've got the people in China. That these people literally take their life in their hands by putting out the information of where there's no state, where there's a state-run media that would prevent freedom of the press. And it's sad that when I see it in my own country, that the same thing is going on, where we want to monopolize just these insane stories and call them breaking and call them important and call them where people are trying to get their 15 minutes of fame like the balloon boy parents. I mean, you know, damn, it's just too bad they weren't put in jail for a longer period of time.
Yeah,
I mean, something has to stop to make these people stop this nonsense. I mean, we have from balloon boy to the couple busting into the White House dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just at some point that whole reality TV, trying to get a TV show, trying to do this, getting your 15 minutes, it's got to end. I mean, we can't be that bad of a society that we make that important.
When
the work that Robin did as a DA, I mean, that's the stuff that's important.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
I just shake my head half the time.
I agree. I agree for sure. Red, I want you to stay on the line. Robin Sachs, it has been an honor and a privilege, ma'am, to work with you in 2009. I look forward to working with you in 2010, and we will continue on. Check out Robin Sachs' webpage at robinsachs.com. We'll talk to you soon, Robin. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to all of you.
Okay, see you soon.
Have a great New Year, Robin.
Okay, stay tuned, Red. I'll be right back with you. Okay, that is our top stories of 2009 from the Scared Monkeys perspective. We're going to take a break here on the Dana Pretzer Show and come back with another good blogger, Blink from Blink on Crime, and talk about some of the top stories that she's covered. This is the Dana Pretzer Show. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. It's another thing in 2009 has been a complete privilege for me to do is to the occasional show with a fellow blogger, blogette. Should you say blogette for a gal blog? I don't know. Blink from Blink on Crime is here along with our old friend Red, the chief cook and head monkey at scaredmonkeys.com to continue on. And we're going to talk about some of the top stories of 2009 that Blink has covered. Hi, Blink.
Hi, Dana. Hi, Red. Happy holidays.
You too.
Now, you, Blink, have been a guest on the program before several times, and I'm so impressed with the work that you do, both on the blog, and Red talked about you a little bit earlier, behind the scenes in some of these high-profile cases. For those that are tuning in that don't know about Blink's blog, say that three times real fast, just click on the link in the show notes, and it'll take you right there to the Blink on Crime blog. But tell the folks a little bit about Blink on Crime.
I'd love to, and thank you for having me, and thank you for the kind words, Dana. Mostly what I would say we do is we cover, you know, contemporary true crime, and it didn't start out this way, but it certainly has slanted to, in addition to that, a victim's advocate site. What we pride ourselves on is a very solid research team doing original content work while following some of the cases that we've all, you know, seen, and quite frankly, quite a few that we haven't seen, but we thought had merit to be seen, and an additional look. So in a nutshell, our work is slanted to seeking justice, finding missing persons, and the answers for their families that they so richly deserve. And it's been we're at 10 months since we launched, as Red can tell you, and it has been such a, you know, on one side a rewarding learning curve, and another side probably some of the most difficult work we've ever done.
Absolutely. Red, your thoughts on Blink?
I can't believe we brought her on board. No. Dana, the work that Blink and her team do is, I probably can't even say everything that I would want to, because most of it's confidential, mm-hmm. and I've been sworn to secrecy. But the work that they do on these cases, and the delving into the minutiae and finding just bits and bits of information is amazing. I mean, it is right out of any police squad.
Yep.
These guys are doing.
Yep.
And they help families so much, and I'm sure that they provide a lot of information that law enforcement goes over those websites, because we all know in this day and age that it is primary that law enforcement does look at websites these days to see what's going on, what's being said, and potential information that they may have missed. And personally, I've known Blink since 2008, and I think she's just done a fantastic job. I mean, my hat is off to her and her team.
Well, you used the term minutia. I'm Googling that to try and figure out what that means. No, I know what that means. But I will concur. That's the best I can do for a $25 word tonight to say about the great work that they do there. And Blink, any officer worth their salt will refer and research the net when it comes to investigations. And one of the big cases that you covered in 2009, of course, we've talked about it already, but I'd like to get your take on it, the Kaylee Casey Anthony case and the investigative work that you and your team have done.
Well, I think, first of all, I would say thank you to Red for his vote of confidence. And I think as a, you know, partner, editor-in-chief, if you will, sometimes we have conversations which are difficult in that we may come up with something, Dana, that we can't report and talk about.
Yep.
And so there's somewhat of a external conflict for us to say, you know, but it's really important if we want to progress the case this way, but, you know, this is something that really needs to go directly to law enforcement. We've actually had conversations where Red has said, you know, I really can't tell anyone? You mean that? For sure? And I say that in somewhat jest, but one of the absolute goal is to, and you brought up the Kaylee Casey Anthony case, and that is a prime example. This case is not likely to be seen again anytime soon. You have the fact that this crime occurred in a state where there is a Sunshine Law,
yep.
where it has, you know, it is now one of the hottest being, you know, another word for morose cases nationally with the most coverage, and what has happened is the blogosphere has had a definite impact and will have a definite quantifiable impact on the outcome of this case. I say that with utter conviction, not just because we've actually done some work to contribute, but because nobody's ever seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
You can see where, you know, maybe perhaps Jose Baez and Andrea Line defense team is, you know, circulating or starting up different blogs to counteract information. What is coming up in the next several weeks is an absolute crossroads for this case, in that everything comes down to the fraud trial.
Yeah.
It's game on in the next couple of weeks, and it's like a speeding locomotive. And it's my sincere opinion that there are critical witnesses that are jockeying for position in terms of the potential for immunity. And I do believe this is probably one of the most pivotal times to result in a successful prosecution in this case that we have seen. And what comes with that is a little bit of the, you know, the nastiness that we see on the web. And I think that's why. I think it just, defense teams are not set up. You know, they're out to control events, as I wrote on today a little bit. And I don't think that they were prepared for the resources and the acumen of, you know, as Red pointed out earlier, crime bloggers that can access information and put it out there in advance of their own resources.
You know, well said. And Red, I'll turn this back to you. You see it with the Anthony case, and we certainly saw it a lot on Scared Monkeys with the Holloway case, that investigative aspect as far as the bloggers and their involvement.
And Dana, I was just going to bring up that exact point. You made the comment earlier in the night about comparing the Kaylee Anthony case to Natalie Holloway.
Yep.
Well, one of the ways it does compare is the fact that, and I've had many a conversation with Blink and tried to sometimes, you know, talk her off the ledge, because it gets a little crazy sometimes. But as I said to her, I said to you, Dana, you haven't made it in this industry until you have a hate blog against you.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And in some cases with us, you have 4, 5, 10, 20. You know you're hitting the right buttons when you do that, because people wouldn't become that squirrely unless you're getting that close and you pose a threat to them. And that happened big time in the Natalie Holloway case, where we actually had a government create a website to basically counteract the blogs. And at the time, the blogs were really only probably about three of us that were truly covering that case. And they tried their best to basically control the story, control the communication, control, which they failed miserably at, because they just didn't understand the enormity of the web, and that was 2005. Now we flash forward to 2009, and we've got the same tired people doing the same tired act.
Oh, yeah.
Of when Blink gets a little bit too close or says something a little bit too racy that somebody doesn't like, well, lo and behold, you get the hate mongers once again come out of the woodwork. And like I said, you know you're doing your job when that happens.
Yeah, well said. I think I've been Photoshopped more on some of those hate sites than ever. It's interesting to see where my face ends up on. and you can just let your imagination wander.
So I have that to look forward to, Dana. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's something else, let me tell you. Blink from Blink on Crime, one of the stories that you covered and investigated quite thoroughly, you and I have talked about it on my show, is Christine Shetty. Let's talk about that case, and where is it now?
Thanks, Dana. It's such an important case to me. It is one of those cases I alluded to a little bit earlier about the fact that it had not gotten the press that it deserved.
Yep.
And I'm proud to say I can speak a little bit about where it has turned. One of the recent developments in the case is the initial lead detective, a gentleman by the name of Scott Mitchell, was let go through the allowance of his resignation from the police department for refusing to arrest an individual on the request of the state's attorney's office of Maryland on child rape. If you can believe that, it does get worse. This individual, I can tell you in a broad way, has compromised the case for Christine Shetty.
Mm.
I've been able to uncover where there's discrepancies in evidence collection, where there's chain of evidence interruption and issues, and to the extent that I can say what's going on right now is a federal arm has taken an initiative to look at this case because of its qualification for some of the things that were occurring leading up to Christine's disappearance, and that would be the ATF is in fact investigating the case, and there are some other internal investigations going on through the state's attorney's office into the practices of not only the local police department, but also on the investigating bureau. And that's the extent that I've been allowed to say so that I don't compromise further developments in the case of what's going on. But I will tell you that I've never met a family that has been more committed to finding the answers to their loved ones, specifically, of course, Christine's mother, Lynn, her father, and her sister and their extended family. But in the face of some of the harshest of times, as we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, when you get someplace and you know, what you can expect from your hard work is to, you know, get cracked in the back of the head
mm-hmm.
and whiplash, et cetera, for working so hard, because nobody wants it. There's people that don't want this case solved. And I just want to commend them because they have been able to hang tough, and they have seen this through, and they have their resolve has just not faltered. And I've, as Red said before, when he was talking about Dave Holloway and digging in the, I don't recall if it was a landfill, but I had been out to the farm where Christine Shetty was last seen, and I do believe she met her end there. And I will tell you this, he's exactly right. This work is as rewarding as it is heartbreaking. Being in a place where you may, or being in a situation where you may provide answers that are going to further break the hearts of people that you've grown to care about and respect, has an odd way of being rewarding that a lot of people, I think, need to, and Robin alluded to, you know, I so respect her work. I really, she is a former prosecutor with such a strength and compassion.
Yep.
You know, she's not been desensitized from what she's seen. I've never seen that in her in any way. But I just think that what Red said and what we're talking about is, at the end of the day, this work is not about us. This work is about finding solutions, finding answers for families and justice for victims, and educating people so in the hopes that it doesn't happen to them or us.
Yeah, you know, well said, Blink. And Red, I'd like to segue into that as far as how the blogs, you, Blink, and others, and we here on the show, like to give a voice to those that haven't been able to been heard yet. And I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of the work that you two do with that also.
In so many cases, Dana, I mean, I know you receive emails. I receive emails, calls, AIMs, you name it. It's like if something happens, it's kind of it's an awe-inspiring feeling to get an email from somebody
mm-hmm.
to say, please help me.
Yep.
Can you help me? Who can I turn to basically help me with this situation? Or you get the emails from anybody who is out there reading that says, I cannot believe that this happens in this day and age. I can't believe the amount of, because people understand, and I, Blink and I talk about this all the time, the amount of time that we put into all
right.
of this. This is not my full-time job, but it is my passion, and it is something that just cannot be left aside. I mean, this, we try to make a difference. We don't want to reinvent the wheel, but we want to make the wheel run better. And there are so many ways. The internet is such a valuable tool when done responsibly, by responsible people in a responsible manner. We can do so much with the amount of people we come in contact with the amount of people that are out there who can provide any bit of information to help a family of any crime or a missing person's family. The fact, I think Blink hit on it a little bit when she said that she had gone to the farm. That's kind of what separates some of the blogs.
Yep.
We don't just write about it. We participate in it.
Yep.
And when you start, and this is one of the things that I was so proud of with Scared Monkeys, because 2005, a lot of people didn't do a lot of things. There weren't as many blogs as there are now. So in many respects, we were trendsetters. So when Tim Miller asked me to actually participate in a search, and that wasn't technically to cover the search, it was to participate in the search. There was coverage as well, but it just gives you a different perspective on life, and it allows you to research these stories and write them in a completely different manner, because all you have to do is sit down for 10 minutes with Beth Holloway and talk life with a woman who no longer has her daughter, and you don't have any problems anymore.
Yeah. No,
you have a completely different perspective on life.
Yeah, exactly. Well said, Blink. I want to give you the last word here in this segment and my final show for 2009. Don't worry, we'll be back in 2010, and stay tuned to the webpage for the daily commentary. There's a good one coming up tomorrow. But Blink on Crime and covering the Morgan Harrington story case, again, something that when you hear the name, you say, who? But that is a person and someone who we need to find and get answers for. I hate that term closure, but we need to get some answers.
It is an elusive term, yes. But I will tell you, and I think Red and yourself would echo the sentiment, that when we talk about closure, any family that you've ever talked to, counseled, or worked with in hopes to find their loved one will tell you that finding their loved one and what happened, regardless of how macabre the circumstances were, is more important to them than anything.
Yep.
So I appreciate you touching on that. Morgan Harrington is a 20-year-old Virginia Tech student that went missing mm-hmm. from a Metallica concert in John Paul Jones Arena at University of Virginia. And it has the strangest parallels to the Holloway case that I have seen since. It's a domestic case, obviously, but there is, and I have been in touch with the Virginia State Police, who is leading this investigation, as well as three other law enforcement agencies. There is as if this woman literally vanished off the face of the earth at 9:30 p.m. on the evening of October 17th. There are friends that are not speaking, that were there, that she got locked out of the auditorium. These parts of the case we all know real well, but the strangest thing I can tell you is it has not progressed much further than that to date. I don't know if it is a situation where law enforcement has no clue, or they have every clue and they are building their case against the person of interest. I can tell you that for the first time in a year, my team, who, by the way, if I could just for a second, I want to say thank you to
sure.
the researchers and editors that contribute their time and passion to these victims, because we are only as good as the sum of our parts, and they deserve every bit, you know, of kudos that goes along with that. But for the first time at Blink, I have two editors that are staunchly adamant that Morgan Harrington never made it to this concert,
mm-hmm.
that she met her end prior to that. To the extent that in our research and in our work, you know, we were somewhat divided on how to proceed. And the reality is, there is no verifiable information, no image. There is nothing I would say, even though I do have a little more information than I can say, that would be considered conclusive that she actually attended the concert. And to that end, I believe she did. So I'm the one that supports law enforcement and believes that they have the accurate amount of information. But it's very similar. She was disconnected from her friends, allegedly had a conversation with one that she'd be getting a ride home, and never seen again. There was a bit of more information after she had been missing that was put out about 30 days, which, being in this genre, if you will, tells me that, in my opinion, they did have a person of interest. Specifically, they put out a necklace that she was allegedly wearing. And I probably have studied at least 400 different pictures of this young woman and her friends. I've never once seen her in a picture with this necklace. So I do believe they released that for investigative reasons.
It's a mystery. I know Clint Van Zandt and I have done a few shows on the Harrington case, and yeah, there are eerie parallels to what happened to her, to what happened to Natalie Holloway. Red, final thoughts from you before we finish up the show tonight?
Dana, I would just like to thank you. I would like to thank Blink. I would like to thank our many readers, our many commenters on the front page, in the forums, on the missing persons site, you name it, on the front pages of Scared Monkeys, who contribute and are really a part of what we do. We have some pretty interesting things that we're going to try to do in 2010. I really can't elaborate on them yet, as much of it is in the works. But you both give a voice to the voiceless. And I mean, many of these topics that we've discussed, and especially the last two that Blink has discussed,
yep,
you really don't see them that much in the media. And it's unfortunate that you don't. And there are so many other stories out there that you don't. And it's about time we start maybe getting it out there instead of Bubble Boy, instead of John and Kate. Because I really just don't care about those stories. And I think there's so many people that are concerned. I mean, our families are the most important thing to us. Our children are the most important things to us. And to crack down on these predators that take advantage of the situation to basically put an end to a lot of this stuff, I really do thank what all of you do to try to help law enforcement and help the situation get better to end this epidemic of crime that we have.
Well said. Thank you, both of you. I'm looking forward to working with both of you in 2010, and let's be in touch. Have a great New Year.
As am I. Thank you, Dana and Red. Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year to both.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
That's Red from, of course, Scared Monkeys, and Blink from Blink on Crime. Make sure and check out our webpage. And I want to thank you, the listener, and you, the viewer, if you're watching on Access Channel 7. Without you, it would have been very difficult to do this program. There are many stories that we cover, many stories that we'll continue to cover. There's stories I would love to see answers to. The McAvoy case, Drew Kesey, of course, Holloway, all the big stories, the missing. The ones that have just recently lost their lives, the unsolved cases, Lacey Gaines, we'll do more work on that as the year goes on. And again, it would be very difficult to do this program without you, the listener, and I thank you for that. My name is Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio for 2009. Stay tuned to the webpage at scaredmonkeysradio.com for my daily commentary, for live shows, for past shows. You can download them, listen to them live. Whatever. Thank you for joining me, and we'll see you again real soon.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guests' websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.